Reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 17, verses 14 through 20. When they came to the crowd, a man came to him, knelt before him, and said, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he has epilepsy and suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him." Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you? How much longer must I put up with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was cured from that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" He said to them, "Because of your little faith. For truly I tell you, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Our second reading is from the book of Nehemiah. Then I said to them, "You see the trouble we are in? How Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned? Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem so that we may no longer suffer disgrace." I told them that the hand of my God had been gracious upon me, and also the words that the king had spoken to me. Then they said, "Let us start building." So they committed themselves to the common good. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank you so much, Loretta, for reading those scripture passages. I invite you to join me now in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who calls us to dream about what might be possible. Amen. So maybe you're wondering why we're here. Maybe you're curious why we decided to change worship times and to allow all of us to be together in one place. I don't know what your image looks like at the moment, but mine looks pretty good. To see all of your smiling faces, to walk into this church building past a second, not a first, but a second Redbird van that has been purchased by the faithful donations of people in this congregation through the course of this entire year, sitting outside. From the moment we walked in this morning, there were sandwiches being made for homeless folks in the city of Detroit. The bell choir was already playing before I got here. The choir was preparing to sing, and then the praise team came in, and our tech team was here to set the alarm off way before any of the rest of us got here. It's been a good Sunday. Some of you have parked in far-off locations and walked here. Perhaps some of you got here at 9:15, hoping the service would start at 9:30, and you anxiously awaited the rest of your friends to arrive. Good job. You got to have your pew, and nobody else could take it from you. I sometimes find myself thinking about what was accomplished through the first disciples. 12 ordinary men, women who had decided to faithfully follow Jesus from the early stages of his ministry. And I think about what the church can accomplish when we all are working together towards a shared purpose, mission, vision, and values. It's inspiring of what we can accomplish together to think about all of the unique and diverse talents and abilities for people who are able to play musical instruments, for folks who can plan and organize sandwiches, people who can plan banquets. If in a moment you're going to walk out through these doors, and I don't want to get people thinking about lunch too much because I won't be able to hold your attention for the rest of the service, but you'll see beautiful hand-picked flowers on nearly every table out there. And I have to say, I cannot thank you enough, Joe and Paula Cunningham, for the vision that you had for the entirety of this day. This is a dream come true. Who would have thought that just a couple of years ago, when our congregations were voting to merge to become one, that all of the photographs that were captured in the video that were shown earlier would now be cherished memories about what our church can accomplish when we work together with God's help? This story that I had Loretta read is probably one of the more controversial stories in the Bible, because Jesus looks at these folks and he goes, "How much longer do I have to be around?" There's a variety of ways to think about that. Perhaps Jesus was looking at the disciples and sort of saying, like, my time is limited. I haven't got much left in the tank. I won't always be here to bail you out when you're afraid of the storms and you want the lightning to, you know, cease, or you want the waves to stop crashing over your boat. I won't be always be here to answer all of your questions face to face. At some point, I'm turning over the keys to you. What are you going to do with those keys? Are you going to be the kind of person that uses your power and your ability to destroy? Or are you going to be the kind of people that use your powers and abilities to create? You have much faith. You have the ability to transform the world simply with an idea, a dream, a vision, or a passion. I have to tell you, and I've told this story a couple of times throughout the course of the year, but we're all sitting down inside a big building down at Redbird, and I see Jeff sitting in the back. He was one of the volunteers that went down to Kentucky to rebuild people's homes, and the director of the work camp was just standing there, and he's like, you know what? Our vans are all 20 years old, and most of us, when we hear about a need, we're like, oh, that's too bad. We carry about our day. And Jeff, thanks be to God, had the Holy Spirit, I believe, like working through his mind a little bit. And all of a sudden he goes, I think we can do something about that. By God, we are part of Metro Detroit. You can barely drive down any street in this area without running into a dealership. And so sure enough, our congregation together through all different kinds of means and events and experiences, the scrap metal drive that just took place a couple weeks ago was the capstone that gave us the last $1,300 to be able to buy a second van for Redbird. In addition to those two vans, somebody in our church, George and Hebe Lutz, had a son who worked in Chicago who had a Ford F-350 that they weren't using anymore, and they donated that as well. We're Trinitarians, right? We believe in working through threes, two vans, a truck, all donated so that people's lives can be better down in Kentucky. Thank you. I find myself thinking about what it means to give what we have. There are numerous stories in Scripture that talk about generosity and faithfulness and the ways in which we can transform the world by offering whatever it might be that we have. And for some of us, that might be a great deal. And for others of us, it just feels like we're showing up at the temple with the widow's mite, and all we have is a couple of coins that will drop into the offering plate and we'll walk away. But Jesus looks at the widow's mite offering in that moment and says, this woman has tremendous faith. Whatever you can give, whatever you can offer, is a gift. As we receive new members into this body of Christ, as we baptize Callum into this body of Christ, we simply ask this question: will you support the body of Christ with your prayers, with your presence, with your gifts, with your service, and with your witness? That's all God asks. And for some of us, that feels like a tremendous sacrifice and offering. But you all do that. I could tell that from the moment that I arrived here at 8:30 this morning, and several people were walking into the sanctuary saying, like, whoa, there's a lot going on here. Thanks be to God. When I hope what the future might look like, I hope that we wear out every hinge on the doors of this place. I hope that our carpets are stained because there is ministry that are taking place within the buildings. My hope is that every once in a while, sorry, building management team, we break a window because the kids are playing dodgeball downstairs and they're having so much fun at youth group that a ball accidentally goes awry. Those are the best kinds of windows to fix. We want this building to be used. And we want our Whitmore Lake campus to be used for ministry. In the second passage Loretta read this morning, there's a story about Nehemiah, and they're returning to the Holy Land and they're realizing that the place has been destroyed. But that's not the end of the story. Nehemiah is sent and he goes, come, everybody come back. Let's rebuild this place. Let's make it what it once was. Let's take one stone and put it on top of the next. Let's use every gift, every ability, and let's see what we can build together. And that's the challenge. If Jesus had 12 people and the women who are a part of Jesus's early ministry, imagine what we can do with the 250 people who are seated in this room. Combine that with the ministries of churches all around the world, and that's how hospitals are built. That's how schools are constructed. That's how the future looks a little bit brighter than the past. I'm excited about what God has in store for us. So we ask ourselves the question, what does it mean to be visited by the God of possibility? What does it mean to have a dream or a vision or a hope buried deep within your soul? What is it that God is calling you to do to make the world a better place? Are you taking the gifts that God is giving you and allowing them to shine brightly so that the whole world can see it? Or are you hiding it, conserving it, saving it for a rainy day? Perhaps some of you are familiar with the writings of columnist Emma Bombeck. She wrote a column about what it meant to be a suburban woman in the 60s and 70s, and her articles were published weekly for decades. Perhaps some of you are familiar with her work, and she was asked in an interview at one point, do you like aggregate a whole bunch of ideas for stories so that you can have something to brilliantly write about each and every time? And this was her response, I don't save anything. My pockets are empty at the end of the week. So is my bank account. So is my gas tank. I trot out the best I've got each and every week. I bargain, I whimper, I beg. I throw myself at the feet of the Almighty for just three more columns. I didn't get to this place overnight. I came from a family of savers. I've seen a fair number of my family die leaving candles that were never lit, appliances that never got out of the box, and what I've learned is that silverware tarnishes when it doesn't get used. Perfume, it turns to alcohol. Candles melt in the attic over the summer. Ideas that are saved for a dry week oftentimes become dated and useless. I had a dream once that when I was called to give an account to the high court about my life, it'll look like this. So empty your pockets. What have you got left of your life? Any dreams that were unfulfilled? Any unused talent that you have left? Any unsaid compliments or bits of love that you haven't spread around? And I will answer this. I have nothing to return to you. I spent everything you gave to me. I reflect on what it's like to do that, and I'm not advocating to end your week or your month with nothing in your gas tank or your bank account. I imagine that saving money is probably a good spiritual discipline, as we teach most of the time, but I think her point's well taken. At the end of this life, we can't take the things we've aggregated with us. This church is a blessing, I hope, for everyone who's gathered here and for people who are not yet with us. So as you depart into the world after the completion of this service, I pray that you would empty yourself and allow yourself to be used so that God's good work would continue and transform people's lives in this world. My hope is that you'd be completely bankrupt in the spirit, that every gift that God gives you, you would find some way to use it in the world. If you feel called to bike, I hope that you'll take your bike on a road for a mission. If you feel called to play the piano, I hope that you'll play concerts in Jesus' name. If you feel called to write cards and letters to people that you love, I pray that that pen would create smoke as you write those cards in Jesus' name. You all have a gift. And just like the author of the book that Lindsay read earlier, why not use it? So let's stain the carpets. Let's wear out the hinges. Let's allow ourselves in this building to be used to the fullest extent so that ministry can happen here, so that when God asks us at the end of our life, what did you do with the things that you have? You can empty your pockets and you say, I gave it everything I had. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Won't you join me now in a spirit of prayer? A loving and gracious God, on this beautiful day that you have made, we've gathered in a spirit of worship and a spirit of praise and a sense of gratitude and thanksgiving. Thank you for the amazing love that you share with us each day, for the love that you have given us through Jesus Christ. For grace upon grace, for new beginnings each day, for new slates being wiped clean when we have turned our back or messed up or sin or fallen off the road that you might intend for us. Thank you for the gift of grace. We pause in knowing, Lord, that we're not perfect people, but we're forgiven people called by you to share your love and grace with this world, called by you to use our good gifts in building your kingdom and transforming it and helping it to make a little bit more heaven-like here on earth. Oh God, you hear the cries of our hearts, the needs that we lift up this day. For the worries, the woes, the joys, the concerns that are upon our spirits and our hearts, we pause for moments of individual prayer to lift them up to you. Oh God, hear our prayers. This morning we lift up to you Harvey and Larry, who are receiving prayer quilts. God, in your great mercy, wrap them in your love. May these prayer quilts be a sign of healing and hope and wholeness found in Jesus Christ. And as Larry and Harvey wrap themselves in these prayer quilts, may they also feel the love of a congregation surrounding them in prayer. And now in one voice and heart, we join together praying the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.